You're listening to the David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Monday, November the 25th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we're going to take a look at those who hate free speech, at those who hate other parts of the Constitution, specifically the Second Amendment as well, what people are doing at the local level, what people did at the local level in Hong Kong. Voting in record numbers, turnout over 70-some-odd percent, 3 million people, and the authoritarian party that represents Chinese communist rule in Hong Kong took it on the chin. However, it looks like they're not going to back down, either side. And so we're going to take a look at Hong Kong versus the hyper-nationalists. Yeah, you know, China is really a neo-colonial power. They are hyper-nationalists. They are the most nationalist country on earth. And so we're going to take a look at that, as well as those who hate speech, what Sacha Baron Cohen had to say about Alex Jones and what Alex Jones had to say about Sacha Baron Cohen. We're going to play that coming up as well. But yesterday we had something kind of interesting happened in Harvard and Yale football game. It was the 136th edition of the game between the two Ivy League schools. I guess these guys were playing each other before they had a Ford Pass. 136 years. I don't think they were doing, I think it was kind of a bastardized version of rugby at that point in time. I don't think they had a Ford Pass. Nevertheless, students from both colleges, Harvard and Yale, because, you know, these elite leaders of tomorrow, these people who are being trained in Marxism, like Buttigieg was. You know, he went to Harvard and he had a Marxist professor there, named himself after Sacco Vanzetti, Sacvan. His basic thesis was that America was evil, and you could trace all of the evil motivations of America. It could be expressed, you know, Vietnam, everything. It was all an expression of Puritanism. And we'll talk about that this week as we head into Thanksgiving. But without getting into that area here, what happened yesterday at Harvard and Yale? Students from both schools occupied the football field after the Yale band had finished performing. So this is not American Pie by Don McLean, right? The player tried to take the field, but the marching band refused to yield. No, the marching band did yield. It's the protesters who refused to yield. And it went on and on. They wound up delaying the game. They had to play the end of it pretty much in the dark because of the new religion. You know, Harvard and Yale used to be seminaries. Harvard, I think, was Congregationalist. Yale was Presbyterian, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure of that. But they were both began as seminaries. And yet, what are they today? Well, they are still seminaries. The only thing that's changed is the religion. They've thrown any Christianity out the door long ago, and they have adopted environmentalism. As a matter of fact, the Oxford Dictionary has now said the word of the year, the word for 2019 is, wait for it, climate emergency. It's no longer global warming. It's no longer man-made climate change. It is now climate emergency. It wasn't enough. Yeah, they got it wrong with cooling. There's a new ice age when this all began. Back in the ice age, when I was in high school, they began the first Earth Day. Back in the Stone Age, the Ice Age, whatever. And it wasn't long before they said, oops, no, that's not happening. We're not going into a global famine. We've got to come up with a new rationale to ration energy and to ration population. And to put myself in control. And so they came up with global warming. And after a few decades, global warming wasn't happening, so they came up with climate change. Nobody's paying attention to them, so now they're screaming climate emergency. They're taking the football fields. A 100-fold increase, 100 times more this year, the term climate emergency. That's right. It's all about unicorn farts. And yet, the Democrat governor vetoed a Pennsylvania ban on aborting Down syndrome babies. They're not worried about eugenics, are they? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
What is that I hear? Ah, that's the world turned upside down. That's what Cornwallis played when he surrendered to George Washington at Yorktown. They had to have some music, you know, they had to have a soundtrack, and the guys didn't have speakers back then, so they had fife and drum corps following around, so they said, what should we play? Cornwallis said, as he was surrendering George Washington, play The World Turned Upside Down, and that's what we have seen in Hong Kong, quite frankly, and that's not my quote, that is the quote of the politician who was the most hated. His name is Junie Ho. And this is the guy who was seen shaking hands and congratulating the thugs who had gone around beating protesters. Remember, the Chinese communist government sent in protests, thugs white outfits, I think they were wearing. And they got the triads, the organized crime gangs, to come in and start beating protesters. And, heavy sticks and so forth. And afterwards, as outraged as everybody was, this particular politician, Ho, went around shaking their hands. And subsequent to that, he was stabbed. He's okay, though. We can laugh about it because he's okay. But that was kind of the backlash from the other people. You're gonna congratulate and shake hands of the thugs who came around and beat people mercilessly, and pretending that they're not from the communist Chinese government. And I hate to call them communists because they really are nationalists. They are hyper-nationalists. They are fascists. And the Hong Kong people got it right, calling them Nazis, because that's exactly what they are. A combination, the economic definition of fascism, a combination of government and businesses where they merge. But also fascists in the sense that they are hyper-nationalists. Why is it that you don't see any criticism from the Pope against China for being hyper-nationalist and aggressive and expansive? And yet, we'll talk about what the Pope had to say about all this. But getting back to Ho, and the reason I played that, after the elections that we had yesterday, record elections, record turnout, and a massive defeat for the politicians that represented Beijing. They voted, as we see in all of these different headlines, they'll say, whoa, this is pro-democracy. Oh, the Democrats won and so forth. No, it isn't. It's not about that. It's about home rule. It's about a declaration of independence. These people want liberty. They want to be represented. They don't want to be dictated to from afar. And so this guy, Ho, after the result of the election, and he was one of the politicians who was defeated, of course, he wrote on his Facebook after his loss, he said, the world is turned upside down. Exactly what Cornwallis had to say. And another Hong Kong political analyst, Willie Lam, I wonder, related to the appointed dictator there, Carrie Lam, I wonder, said, the result was nothing short of a revolution. The world turned upside down, nothing short of a revolution is what they're having to say here. It is a sound repudiation of the Hong Kong administration and Beijing's policy toward Hong Kong. Understand that in the past, the people in Hong Kong could elect representatives. That's why it's not a pure democracy. They don't vote on every single issue. That's what a democracy is. Every issue that comes up, you have a plebiscite on it, and everybody votes on it. We call that a ballot initiative here in the United States, or a referendum or something like that. But in a democratic republic, you elect representatives who then are supposed to govern according to the principles and the Constitution. We don't have that form of government here in the United States, quite frankly. It's time for us to have a revolution at the voting polls. But what we're seeing here is not a victory for Democrats or democracy. This is a victory for self-government, for self-representation, a republic there that puts the values of free speech and liberty ahead of the dictates of a Chinese communist like Xi Jinping. And what had happened there was they did have an elected legislative body. However, the chief executive was appointed by Beijing. Very similar to what was going on in the American colonies, where you'd have a governor that was appointed by the crown. Now, you could, you know, elect the legislature, but, you know, the governor wasn't necessarily going to pay attention to them, right? And so what happened is it looks like this is a crushing victory, as they're pointing out, at the community-level election, sending the Beijing-backed government a clear message of public support for the demands of the protest movement that has been going on for many, many months. Counting is still underway, but they already know it's a record turnout. And the result, as Asia Times is pointing out, is a humiliating rebuke to Beijing, and I would say to Xi Jinping, and dashed any lingering hopes of Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam that the increasingly aggressive tactics deployed by radical protesters would encourage a silent majority to turn out in support of her administration. Previously, the pro-Beijing political party was the largest, but they had at least 155 of their 182 candidates defeated. And again, Junius Ho, the guy who congratulated the thugs that beat the protesters, was subsequently stabbed, and now he has been thrown out of office, who said the world has turned upside down. Protesters will see this as an astounding victory, said Lam. And as a mandate given by the people. So they will fight harder, but at the same time, there won't be any concessions from Beijing, so the frustration will mount. Now, that is not Carrie Lam, but that is the political commentator with the last name of Lam. But it might as well be Carrie Lam. She is essentially, you know, the governor who doesn't care about democracy. Some of the numbers there. 71% of the 4.13 million citizens registered to vote cast their ballots, far higher than the last election that was only 47%. So it went from 47% to 71%. How does that compare to the U.S.? Well, in the last elections that we had, the non-presidential elections, midterm as they call them, you had in the 18 to 29-year-old range, it was, everybody was saying, wow, look at how many more of them voted in the last, in the presidential election, or sorry, the last midterm election. Only 20% of the 18 to 29-year-olds voted. And then in 2018, 36% of them voted. They said, oh, that's a big increase. Yeah, it is a big increase, but it doesn't really compare to people over 65. In the U.S., 65% of the people over the age of 65, voted. Voting participation goes up with age. Because as we get older, we see what the government's true effect on our lives is. And unfortunately, this increase in participation by the 18 to 29-year-olds came about, gave us some undesired results, as these are the people who foolishly think that they can get a free lunch. There is no free lunch. And these are also the people who are increasingly contemptuous of our basic freedoms as outlined in the Bill of Rights. And so we're going to be talking in the next segment about their rejection of our free speech. But I would say that perhaps, you know, to give them a little bit of a break, their apathy, those over 65, when they say that's 65% of the people, 65 and older voting, that might have been helped somewhat by the Democrats voting the dead people in their districts. That does happen. That does happen. Quite frankly, I have firsthand experience that I've relayed in the past in North Carolina. So as this is happening, they won a majority of seats, home rule. Again, these are people who are not Democrats, as the mainstream press likes to put it. These are people for home rule. These are people who are standing for liberty. You know, they want a Second Amendment. They had to fight these police with real bullets and real guns. They were fighting them with bows and arrows, if necessary, and saying, we need a Second Amendment. And they want free speech. And they want to have control over their children's education. Quite frankly, these people in Hong Kong are more American than Americans are today. Because most of us don't realize the value of those things. They do. They do. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
Who is Alex Jones? Mainstream media calls him a conspiracy theorist, fake news, crazy, and worst of all, a fear monger. But the only thing to truly fear
is missing out on all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday, 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points for InfoWarsStore.com Black Friday sale. 50% off your favorites like Survival Shield X2 and X3. 50% off the Ultimate Bone Broth. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Remember when we had llamas? This Black Friday. Don't have fear of missing out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 50% off. Free shipping and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points only this Black Friday at InfoWarsStore.com.
Fear of missing out is a serious condition that can only be treated by going to InfoWarsStore.com.
I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product, and we got several thousand of these in, and they're going to sell out in a few days at the rate we're selling them. I want to thank the listeners for getting it, but this really is a game-changing toothpaste, and it doesn't compete with Super Blue that's 4-5 colloidal silver and iodine and fluoride-free, the adult or the children's. These are both excellent toothpaste, concentrates that don't have fillers. People love it. This is a whitening toothpaste that also has the above-sea coral calcium that also cleans but also mineralizes the teeth. Then it has the patented silver sol, silver in it to knock out the bacteria that cause gingivitis. This is all proven. You can make claims with this. But I have to tell you, no one has a toothpaste this good for knocking out the bacteria, the viruses, and cleaning the teeth in a healthy way that doesn't strip away the enamel. So we're really proud of it. It funds the operation, InfoWarsStore.com. That's why we're still on air, thanks to you.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
I'm going to come back to Hong Kong later in the broadcast, but I want to play Alex Jones's comments about what Sacha Baron Cohen had to say, the Borat actor. This is a guy who, if he wants to shut down free speech and people who are hateful and offensive, this guy is throwing stones in a glass house. I mean, this is... This is about as ridiculous as what Elon Musk did with a Cybertruck for Baron to come out and start doing this. Cohen, should say. Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of Sacha Baron Cohen. Not a fan of his disgusting filth and not a fan of his censorship, quite frankly. You know, when I saw the article on the Drudge Report, I saw, this actor says that Facebook, Google, YouTube, Twitter are, quote, the greatest propaganda machine in history. And I said, yeah, absolutely, I agree with that. And I looked at the article and I realized, this guy is calling for more censorship of people that he disagrees with. And I was going to talk about this on Friday. I didn't get to it because I had other things that came up, and I ran out of time. But Alex talked about this in great deal because this Borat character, the ADL, called out Alex. But before we get to what Alex had to say, I just want to show you a clip of something that happened in Norway and has created a rift between Pakistan and Norway. Let's show people video clip number 8. You got a guy who is protesting Islam or immigrants or something, but I don't know what he's protesting, but he burned a Quran, and you see that guy come flying out of the from the side there and kicks him, okay, and violently attacks him, because he's engaging in speech. You see, one of the things that Borat talks about, or Sacha Baron Cohen talks about, is the fact that you got to shut down anybody that you disagree with. And he has the audacity to quote Voltaire. Now, Voltaire didn't say, I disapprove of what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. That was an understanding, a paraphrase, of everything that he'd always talked about. And that is exactly what he believes. You know, Voltaire had said things, let us read, let us dance. These two amusements will never do any harm to the world. To think for yourself, dare to think for yourself, rather, and let others enjoy the privilege of doing so. So you have to understand that censorship is the hallmark of a tyrant. And it also tells you that war has begun, because truth and free speech are always the first casualty of war. I want to play for you now what Alex Jones had to say about this wannabe tyrant, Sacha Baron Cohen. Video clip 2.
Most powerful and influential Jewish organization in the world, the ADL, or Anti-Defamation League, has come out and issued a public statement at their main conference calling for the arrest of the Big Six tech heads if they do not fully turn control of their company's moderation and content over to them. This is literal terrorism.
And maybe fines are not enough. Maybe it's time to tell Mark Zuckerberg and the CEOs of these companies, you already allowed one foreign power to interfere in our elections. You already facilitated one genocide in Myanmar. Do it again and you go to jail.
The ADL then goes further and calls for a purge of everyone who does not agree with them.
Insist on facts and purge these lies and conspiracies from their platforms.
Ladies and gentlemen, not even Hitler gave speeches this evil and this draconian. He just took over and then carried out the evil. Multinational corporations working with groups like the ADL have decided to brand any resistance to their takeover as anti-Semitic. This is so incredibly dangerous, and it's going to blow up in the face of those that are trying it. It's the ADL spokesperson that famously said, "Throw the Jew down the well so my country can be free."
Throw the Jew down the well.
Well, I simply say, uphold the Bill of Rights and Constitution and stand up to those that want to gag the people of the United States, just as the people of Europe and the UK have been silenced. This is the tyranny in our age. This is the threat. This is the authoritarianism.
Do it again and you go to jail.
Since when in history have we heard a powerful organization via their celebrity spokesperson say, if corporations don't do our exact bidding, we are going to have their directors arrested? If what you just heard isn't Hitlerian, nothing is.
It's why YouTube recommended videos by the conspiracist Alex Jones billions of times. It's why fake news outperforms real news, because studies show that lies spread faster than truth. And it's no surprise that the greatest propaganda machine in history has spread the oldest conspiracy theory in history, the lie that Jews are somehow dangerous.
So the trick is very, very elementary. Convince everyone that there's a second Holocaust about to happen and that there are Nazis under every table. And then switch it to Alex Jones and Donald Trump and nationalists and conservatives.
On the internet, everything can appear equally legitimate. Breitbart resembles the BBC. The fictitious protocols of the Elders of Zion look as valid as an ADL report.
So the ADL is going to protect us from all these Nazis. And then we learn they're Alex Jones, Donald Trump, Breitbart, Stephen Miller, anybody that doesn't like George Soros that was an actual Nazi collaborator and said it was the best time of his life on 60 Minutes. This is dangerous. But it's more than just a power grab. It's also about money, because the ADL is already paid hundreds of millions of dollars a year by big tech to run their moderation and the training of their censors. But Cohen says, that's not enough. You better spend unlimited amounts of money to stop what they deem as thought crime.
Now, in their defense, these social media companies have taken some steps to reduce hate and conspiracies on their platforms, but these steps have been mainly superficial.
The ADL teleprompter reader insults all of his viewers by claiming that big tech censorship, directed and captained by the ADL, has only been superficial. Hundreds of millions of accounts have been suspended. Anyone promoting Trump or nationalism or the Second Amendment has been banned. Thousands of people I know have lost their bank accounts at the ADL's direction. What did Hitler do in Nazi Germany? In the early years, he took Jews' bank accounts away and wouldn't let them engage in commerce.
Voltaire was right when he said, "Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities."
Arrest people that don't submit. Purge the internet. This is what you hear out of megalomaniacs' mouths. And the stench of authoritarian danger is absolutely overwhelming.
This can't possibly be what the creators of the internet had in mind.
One of the few true things that Cohen said was that...
All right, you want to see the rest of that? You can find it at band.video. That's the ADL launches a hostile takeover against Silicon Valley's Big Six.
Who is Alex Jones? Mainstream media calls him a conspiracy theorist, fake news, crazy, and worst of all, a fear monger. But the only thing to truly fear
is missing out on all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday, 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 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points for InfoWarsStore.com Black Friday sale. 50% off your favorites like Survival Shield X2 and X3. 50% off the Ultimate Bone Broth. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Remember when we had llamas? This Black Friday, Friday, Friday. Don't have fear of missing out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 50% off free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points only this Black Friday at InfoWarsStore.com.
Fear of missing out is a serious condition that can only be treated by going to InfoWarsStore.com.
Major report out of Major University. Researchers working on food-based treatment to slow aging. Science Daily. Probiotics in the gut of a particular type cause your entire body to be healthier and make you live longer and make you not get intestinal cancer. We have the very best formula, literally, with what they even mention in the studies. And it explains that the hormone called FGF21 pro-longevity heals the entire body and actually reverses aging, but is only made in the lower intestine. Oh, and what does it say? It's fiber from a spectrum of certain types of berries that grows this. And yes, this is a plug. Gut Fusion. And what do we have in this? High auric berry blend, strawberry, blueberry, blackberry, cranberry, escoblio, grape, and pomegranate. It's the pulp from them that then grows this. Gut Fusion for children, for young people, for old people, for everybody. This is fiber and glutamine. You're not going to find a better formula. Gut Fusion. It's amazing. InfoWarsStore.com. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech. And to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.video. And that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square. Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to play a little bit of Candide. That goes back to a play by Voltaire. Leonard Bernstein's great score there. Voltaire, who was just reinvented in a not-so-funny satire by Sacha Baron Cohen. Let's just call him Cohen. I can't remember all of his names. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of this guy. This is a guy who has made his living doing satire and comedy. Maybe he ought to pay attention to what other people who used to enjoy free speech are saying. Terry Gilliam was just talking about this, the American that worked with Monty Python and director himself. John Cleese has talked about how you can't do comedy anymore. People become so prickly about everything. Oh, I'm offended by that. I'm offended by that. Well, then shut up or don't watch it. I'm offended by Cohen, so I don't watch his stuff. I don't try to get him purged. You also had Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, talking about that. So you can't do comedy anymore. They all understand this. And here you have a comedian throwing stones in this glass house of free speech. And it's not only him, but it's also the ADL, groups like the ACLU. I remember back in North Carolina when we had third parties that we were trying to get on the ballot. Incredibly high ballot access standards. I mean, just to get on the ballot. If you were a Republican or Democrat, or same thing here in Texas, you just get right on the ballot. No problem whatsoever. And if you don't file out all the paperwork, that's okay. We'll extend the deadline for you because, yeah, we just realized, there's only one of the major party candidates running and then there's a Libertarian running against them. We don't want that. So we'll extend the deadline, for this Republican who didn't run. Bend the rules for the major parties. Don't apply the same rules to them. You want to talk about a double standard of rules? Yeah, I've been watching this for 30 plus years. Did the ACLU ever come to the aid of the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party or the Green Party even? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, we had to do all the heavy lifting on our own. All of those parties came together in North Carolina to get a little bit of a change in the ballot access laws, but the ACLU wouldn't help us with that. No, the ACLU was too busy helping Nazis march in Skokie, Illinois, a predominantly Jewish community, because that's what the ACLU likes to do. They don't want any real change. They want to highlight this narrative of anti-Semitism to project their business, and that's exactly what the ADL and Cohen were doing over the weekend, putting forward that narrative self-servingly. No, they would do everything they could to make sure that Nazis were always represented everywhere because they like to have the Nazis. People see the Nazis and they give money to the ACLU or they give money to the ADL. But they would never do anything to help us to get on the ballot as an independent or third party. They, even after we jumped through all the extra hoops that the Republicans and Democrats put on independents and third parties, then they supported the idea that the Independent Association of Journalists and News Organizations in North Carolina, that the Republicans and Democrats gave the ability to run the debates. Hey, we don't have anything to do with this. Just like same thing that they're doing with Silicon Valley right now. We're not the ones censoring the third party and independent candidates from the debate. It's the people who run it. And they're an independent. Yeah, right. Independent. Tell me. You know why the Press Association in North Carolina would only let Republicans and Democrats in the debate? Because they wanted access to those Democrats and Republicans. That's their bread and butter. Why do you think Silicon Valley is only allowing the narrative of the military-industrial complex? Because that's their bread and butter. They are becoming and have become the military-industrial complex. One of the other things that Cohen said, well, you look at this and Breitbart on the internet can look just like the BBC. No, quite frankly, nobody can look quite as bad as the BBC. But see, that's why they've got their Silicon Valley technocrats coming in with their NewsGuard checkmark system. Because they'll come in and say, anything that the BBC says, hey, they got this validation checkmark. I mean, Microsoft built it into their browser. Built it into their browser. And so, the entire news organization is, everything they say is true. New York Times never lies to you, never has to do a retraction. Washington Post, neither of them. ABC, they don't have to do any retractions, no matter how they lie to you or cover up criminally what is going on. No, they can always be trusted. Everything that they say can be trusted. The whole idea behind this is to make sure that you don't think for yourself. That's why I said it's such an effrontery for Cohen to quote out of context Voltaire. Voltaire, dare to think for yourself. This is a guy who is all about free speech. I totally disagree with you, but I will defend to the death your right to say that. That was a summation of everything that he had said. But he did say, dare to think for yourself. Let others enjoy the privilege of doing so too. How about that, Cohen? Quote that from Voltaire. Or that common sense is not so common anymore. That's why I say, one of the taglines of the show, making sense common again. That's right. It's not common in our time either. But it's absolutely amazing also that he would go in and say, YouTube recommended videos by the conspiracist Alex Jones billions of times. No, they didn't. We got billions of views, Alex Jones, InfoWars, because yours truly not because it was recommended by YouTube, in spite of YouTube burying us. That's why they had to ban us, because they couldn't bury us. That's why they had to shut us down on social media, because they couldn't bury us. These people know better than you, and they're going to tell you what you're allowed to see and not see. But understand, it is not simply misplaced paternalism. This is a program to shut down our fundamental freedoms. And it's one of the things that the people in Hong Kong rebelled against. You had Xi Jinping and that government. Again, I don't like calling them communists. They're really more national socialists, Nazis. But they would come in and shut down the presses in Hong Kong. They would actually violently beat the people, destroy the printing presses and so forth, the newspapers that they didn't like. They would jail people. And this is, quite frankly, what the people like Cohen and the ADL want to do to you as well. Just take a look last week. Again, I was going to talk about this on Friday. And at the same time, he's saying we got to have more control of speech and more censorship. You had thousands of protesters show up to protest Ann Coulter at Berkeley. And you had the Berkeley administrator, chief administrator, that was pushing them to do that as well. A Berkeley instructor also saying rural Americans are bad people who deserve to be shamed. Berkeley put itself out there when it was a minority. They said, we are standing for free speech. That's why we're doing all this stuff. And we want to burn American flags and so forth. That's why I talked about this guy who has been attacked in Norway, actually arrested by the police because he burned a Quran. And it has created a diplomatic rift between the two countries. There's an online petition launched calling on police to release the man who has been dubbed Ilyas the Quran Defender, the guy who attacked him, okay, got violent. And I looked at that and said, okay, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy in this? You got a guy burning a Quran, and you've got a guy who violently attacks him, a la Antifa. Quite frankly, I wouldn't praise either one of these guys. But if you want to burn a Quran or you want to burn a flag, that is speech. That is political speech. And you may despise that and feel free to speak out loudly against that. But you're not free to get violent with people. When you support that, when you support the Quran defender, when you have the capital of Pakistan expressing deep concern, launching diplomatic action because a Quran was burned in Norway, right? It's because these people do not support free speech. They don't understand the principles that our civilization and culture were built on. They don't understand the principles that are enshrined in our law, in our Constitution. And that applies to Cohen and the ADL. They are just as authoritarian as these Islamic jihadis. They make common cause. We'll be right back.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said, it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is, there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
You know, in the speech that I just played some excerpts for you, the speech that Sacha Cohen made to the ADL, saying that any speech that they disagree with, any speech that they feel is hateful or extreme or whatever, needs to be shut down. And they need to start jailing people if they don't shut people down. Now, what he's doing is he's saying we've got to get rid of the exemption that was put in, Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. And I don't agree with conservatives who say we've got to get rid of that. I don't agree with liberals like Cohen who say we've got to get rid of it. I think what we do is we actually use it. We actually enforce it. What that said was that outlets that have platforms, social media companies and so forth, or search engine internet companies, this was done back in 1996 as the internet was starting to take off, because finally at that point in time, it became practical the very beginning degree. I mean, it was still very painful if you loaded a still picture. We don't even think about that today anymore. But it took a while if you loaded a picture. So you had to be careful about how many pictures you put in your website and so forth. It would take forever to load. Remember those days? Bandwidth was low, people could already see the potential. They could see where it was going. And so what they said in 1996 is we're not going to hold internet companies that have a public platform, we're not going to hold them responsible for what people put on those platforms, basically giving them immunity so that they could create a public square where people could use their free speech. And then what we have had in the last few years is governments everywhere, including our own here in America, and people on both the left and the right. I mean, it's not just Cohen and the ADL, is not just the Democrats who want to shut down your speech. It's also people like Marco Rubio saying to these people, ignoring the fact that Alex Jones had been purged off, that InfoWars had been purged off, that I'd been purged off, ignoring all of that, and saying to these tech giants, you'll censor the people we tell you to censor, right? Not the ones that China says to censor. You'll take orders from me, right? Little Marco, you're going to take orders from me. Say hello to my little pen. That's exactly what's going on here. And the people that got censored after us, 2 months later, all 800 of them were not Trump supporters, not conservatives. That's the vast majority. But the one thing that all of them had in common, even the never Trumpers, was they pushed back against the police state, the surveillance state, and the military industrial complex and its never ending wars. Exposing the attempts, the false flags to draw us into more and more conflicts, to draw us deeper into the conflicts that had multiplied under Obama and Bush. Those are the people that they took down. That's what I'm saying. This is coming from the government. So the answer is not to get rid of the Communications Decency Act, Section 230, that gave them immunity. It's to say, look, you're not going to be held responsible for this. You don't need to do any censorship. No. Our government, just like the Chinese communist government, our government, both conservative and liberal, both Republican and Democrat, are demanding that these people censor. And now you're going beyond censorship, aren't you? Because now the narrative that's being pushed out there by people like Cohen and the ADL are, we need to start jailing people for what they say. Jailing people. Now, right now, he's talking about jailing the Silicon Valley tyrants, the technocrats, who are allied with the military-industrial complex. And, of course, you know that's not going to happen. But he says, oh, yeah, jail, jail, jail. And then he mentions Alex Jones, because that's the next step. First, they deperson you. First, they assassinate your character. They move you off of the internet so that you can't defend yourself. Take you off of social media. Then, what they do after they've demonized you, silenced you, assassinated your character, then they come after you physically. Look at what they're doing to Julian Assange. All these Democrats who are wringing their hands about the alleged whistleblower who didn't witness anything, who doesn't have anything that he can even talk about. Oh, President Trump wants to kill him. No, they're projecting Hillary onto President Trump. It's Hillary who kills her political opponents. Clinton side. We haven't had any allegations of anybody having anything like that. Not even any allegations of it by President Trump. They got to protect that whistleblower. You got a real whistleblower, Julian Assange, who is being murdered right now. If you want to get upset with the Trump administration liberals, why don't you talk about that? Well, it's because they're part of the military-industrial complex. The left is just as authoritarian or more authoritarian than the worst of the Republicans and the military-industrial, the worst neocons. They don't even talk about the real whistleblower who is being murdered right now, Julian Assange. So, folks, if you want to support us, we are trying to do everything we can to fight these people. We have the biggest corporations the world has ever seen. Each of these corporations with a bigger reach and more money, because most of the governments of the world are insolvent. Most of them are deep in debt, including our own. These are people like Apple, who have tens of billions of dollars of cash just sitting there. And with their massive stock influence on Wall Street, they have the ability to essentially print money. You know, they don't have the Federal Reserve, but believe me, through equity financing on Wall Street and by playing games of public perception, just look at Elon Musk. These guys have unlimited access to cash. And so we're fighting essentially several different nation states at the same time. And these people are merging with the state. And we're going to have a technocracy if we don't push back against this. And these people are totally authoritarian. They've already begun a war against speech. And now they're going to go against anybody who actually, you know, physically attack everybody else like they are already attacking Julian Assange. That's what all this jail stuff is about. Now, they're not going to even attempt to lock up Bill Gates or Jack Dorsey or Mark Zuckerberg. Just consider the fact that Cohen is absolutely enraged that Zuckerberg would even talk about free speech to the people at Georgetown University. Now, of course, Zuckerberg isn't going to do that. He's just talking. But you can't even talk about free speech with these liberals anymore, these authoritarians. So, folks, if you want to help us stay on air, you've been very good at supporting us so far. We really do need your support. InfoWarsStore.com. We have now done something we've never done before. We're offering triple Patriot points in addition to the big discounts we got. 50% off and more, free shipping, and now triple Patriot points. What that does is get you additional discounts in the future. 50 to 70% off. Many different items that we have at the InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide, triple Patriot points. We've got all of our best supplements, many of our newest supplements. We've got DNA Force, for example, 50% off. That is a very, very expensive product to produce. PQQ is something that helps you to maintain your telomeres. You know, we just had the article about life expectancy for dogs and so forth. How did they know? They said, well, you know, we've got this thing about every year for a human is 7 years for a dog. And they said, well, you know, we'll say 70 years is about the typical lifespan for a human and 10 years for a dog. So we'll just make it linear. Well, it's not actually linear. Turns out it's more like an S-curve. The dogs, they said, according to their DNA, age very rapidly when they are young. And then the aging process slows down, but continues. And so what they were saying was, well, you know, a puppy that's about 2 years old, they're already middle-aged or whatever. Look, you can slow down the aging process. It can happen biologically or it can happen with PQQ and other supplements. We've got 170 clinical studies. Do your own investigation. Very, very effective. It's a very expensive ingredient to put in. 50% off is a big savings dollar-wise. We also have winter sun right now during the winter. We call it winter sun because you get vitamin D when you get out in the sun. Your body manufactures vitamin D. If you're not out in the sun, if you're closed up inside, as many people are during the winter, and the sun, of course, also is diminished in terms of its intensity. Winter sun is a liquid supplement of vitamin D that's going to help your body when it's not getting sunlight. That is now 50% off. Bodies are all natural anti-inflammatory, 50% off. Our protein bars, 50% off. Take a look at the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, 50% off, free shipping, triple Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Who is Alex Jones? Mainstream media calls him a conspiracy theorist, fake news, crazy, and worst of all, a fear monger. But the only thing to truly fear
is missing out on all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday, 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 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points for InfoWarsStore.com Black Friday sale. 50% off your favorites like Survival Shield X2 and X3. 50% off the Ultimate Bone Broth. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Remember when we had llamas? This Black Friday, Friday, Friday. Don't have fear of missing out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points. Only this Black Friday at InfoWarsStore.com.
Fear of missing out is a serious condition that can only be treated by going to InfoWarsStore.com.
Major report out of major university. Researchers working on food-based treatment to slow aging. Science Daily. Probiotics in the gut of a particular type cause your entire body to be healthier and make you live longer and make you not get intestinal cancer. We have the very best formula, literally, with what they even mention in the studies. And it explains that the hormone called FGF21 pro-longevity heals the entire body and actually reverses aging, but is only made in the lower intestine. tested.
Oh, and what does it say?
It's fiber from a spectrum of certain types of berries that grows this. And yes, this is a plug. Gut Fusion. And what do we have in this? High auric berry blend, strawberry, blueberry, blackberry, cranberry, escoblio, grape, and pomegranate. It's the pulp from them that then grows this. Gut Fusion for children, for young people, for old people, for everybody. This is fiber and glutamine. You're not going to find a better formula. Gut Fusion. It's amazing. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As we have Pakistan recalling its ambassador to Norway because one protester burned the Quran, and then the one Islamic immigrant violently attacked him for that act of speech. You know, what do you think about that? I mean, here in the United States, we've got Michigan University student government votes to ban the Pledge of Allegiance. You got protesters on the left burning the American flag all the time. I believe that's political speech. I don't agree with either of those actions, but I'll defend their speech and their right to put out that speech. If you disagree with that, speak out against it. Don't try to send those people to jail. And don't violently attack them. Now, the individual who violently attacked the man who was burning the Quran went to jail, and it has set Pakistan on fire. But remember, Pakistan is a country that nearly killed Asia Bibi, a poor Christian woman who was working in a field. She had the audacity to drink water out of a common well that was being shared by the other Muslim women who hated her because simply because she was Christian. They said, "Don't you drink that water, you filthy Christian, unless you convert to Islam." "I'm not going to convert to Islam. I'm a Christian." For that, there were violent attacks in that area. She was arrested. They had her on death row for over 10 years. One member of parliament there in Pakistan said, "We've got to get rid of the death penalty for blasphemy here in Pakistan." His own bodyguard killed him. Killed him. That member of parliament who wanted to establish some of the freedoms that we have had for so long here in the West that we don't take them as seriously as we should anymore. We let people like Cohen, Sacha Baron Cohen at the ADL, demand that we lock up people for free speech. We should jail people. Quite frankly, the ADL, Cohen, and these people are just like the Islamists. They have a religion. It's secular humanism, or it's environmentalism, or it's transgenderism, or whatever it is that they really care about. And if you say something that they disagree with, when it's something that they're passionate about, these atheists, they do have their gods, don't they? Transgenderism, environmentalism, whatever. And if you offend their gods, they will come after you just like the Islamic jihadis. They don't respect free speech. And we better wake up and understand these people are not playing by the same rules we play by. Before it's too late. So, to give you an example, what's happening, something else is happening here in the United States. This was a situation where they had a closed school here in America. Listen to this. Some big new operation opens in a closed high school in a residential neighborhood. There's traffic problems. There's conflicts over the use of public park and late night events that are disturbing the peace. But nobody responds to the citizens when they complain. Why is that? That's interesting. So one resident starts to videotape various violations, including traffic offenses. And then what happens to her? Well, the police threaten her with a charge of harassment. It's because the suspected violators, these people who moved into the school, the ones who are creating problems in the neighborhood, the ones that the police aren't concerned about, happened to be part of a mosque in Bloomington, Minnesota. And they say, we don't like being recorded. You know, kind of like the abortionists don't like being recorded when they're negotiating, buying body parts, procuring body parts, supplying body parts for people for cash. They don't like being recorded either. And neither do the Muslims. And so the police came in and arrested, they threatened this woman for filming traffic problems at the mosque. That's in America. That's in America. We'll be right back.
Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I said, the left, even though they're atheists, they have their gods that they fiercely worship. Environmentalism. You know, you just had the Harvard-Yale game shut down over the weekend because students from both colleges that have now turned into seminaries. They were Christian seminaries. Now they've turned into seminaries for environmentalism. So both sides came out and worshiped their God, chanting, fossil fuels have got to go. These are the people who are going to dictate how you live. They're going to take you back into the Stone Age. Vladimir Putin actually said that. Yeah, I'm with Vladimir Putin on this, quite frankly. Call me whatever you want. He's a Russian. He's with the Russians. Yeah, Vladimir Putin is saying these people want to take you back in the Stone Age. I've been saying that long before he said that. Maybe he got it from me. I don't know. Yeah, but we agree. We agree. These authoritarians have proposed a system of austerity. They're going to dictate to you what you can and cannot drive. They're going to dictate to you what size house you can live in. They're going to tell you whether or not you can have meat. Or whether you can travel. And they're going to monitor everything that you do so they'll know. They'll know, they'll watch your trash. They'll watch your movements in these cities that are being built by Google. This open air prison system that they're building called smart cities. When we look at, the left and how they hate speech, again, it's no different than what you see happening between Norway and Pakistan. One guy burns a Quran, another guy violently attacks him. They put the guy who is violently attacking, they put him in jail. Now Pakistan has called their ambassador. No. We don't like your speech, so we are entitled to get violent with you, and we will call that guy a hero. As a matter of fact, these are the same people who will call those who murder other people. As a matter of fact, it was state-sanctioned to murder people who disagreed with the Quran or disrespected it in some way. I mean, it's still on the books there in Pakistan that you can be murdered for blasphemy. And now you've got people like Sacha Baron Cohen and the ADL talking about how you should be jailed for blasphemy of their gods, whether it's environmentalism, whether it's transgenderism, whether it's homosexuality or Islam or big pharma. Don't talk about vaccines. We'll kick you off of social media. And because you're threatening our health, you know, our vaccines don't work. So we got to make sure that everybody gets them. That's the logic behind these people. And if you speak out about that, we're going to have to put you in jail to silence that because our lives are at stake. Just take a look at what's going on in the UK. You've got a guy, Harry Miller. He's 53 years old, a former cop. What was his crime? He retweeted an allegedly transphobic poem. And so he gets a phone call from the cops. He says, wait, why are you calling me? Did I commit a crime? And they said, quote, we need to check your thinking. We need to check your thinking. Now, I don't know how they use that word in the UK. They're, you know, some, you know, we're common, we're two people, as has been said, the British and the American, two people separated by common language. So I don't know how they're using checking here. We need to check your thinking. Does that mean that we need to check as in we need to investigate your thinking? Or does that mean we need to check your thinking as in blocking it, you know, like a hockey check, right? You check the opponent by blocking them. I don't know, but both of those really apply, don't they? Previously unaware that Kafka and Orwell had written training manuals for police officers, this former police officer decided to bring a court case against the College of Policing. There is such a thing in the UK. It's called the College of Policing. And they have a policy. It's called the HCOG that was issued in 2014. What does that stand for? Hate Crime Operational Guidance. Hate Crime Operational Guidance. So this is the College of Policing, and they have a Hate Crime Operational Guidance. And I said from the very beginning of the hate crime stuff, this turns all the principles of law upside down in America, because now you're trying to judge motivation and you can't really do that, right? You can sometimes use motivation to help you assess whether or not somebody is a suspect, but you still need to have other evidence, right? Now they're just going to make the motivation that they infer, that's going to be the crime. And what have we seen? We've seen the deletion of due process, haven't we? The idea in court, as Miller argued in court this week, he said, the idea that a law-abiding citizen can have their name recorded against a hate incident on a crime report when there was neither hate nor crime undermines the principles of justice, free expression, democracy, and common sense. But the hate crime operational guidance document from 2014 instructs officers to record hateful incidents that were, quote, irrespective of whether there is any evidence to identify the hate element. That's right out of their document. Record it whether or not there's any evidence of this. The government's website on hate crime also includes an overview of quote-unquote hate incidents, which are described as, quote, behavior which isn't a crime, but which is perceived by the victim or anybody else to be motivated by hostility or prejudice. You think about that. Think about the fact that they don't use the victim. They used the complainant. Think about the fact that they say it isn't, there isn't any evidence of this, but it is perceived by the victim. Say the presumption of innocence has now been thrown out if you can do that. And of course, this is a, I'm reading from an article here by spikedonline.com. Police and prosecutors have withheld evidence in the past that would exonerate innocent suspects. They do that here in the United States all the time. All the time. It's standard operating procedure now in pretty much every court. However, they point out that it's not just Marcus Meechan, the YouTuber known as Count Dankula. Remember when he had the Nazi pug joke? And remember when Alex, you know, showed his dog, his puggish dog? I forget what breed that was. It was some kind of a bulldog, French bulldog. Yeah, that was it. Anyway, but they've had over 3,000 people arrested each year now in the UK simply because they posted comments online that somebody somewhere found offensive. You don't even have to have a trial to determine whether or not this person holds the views that you believe that they have. You just are offended by that. And you can take that to the bank. The Communications Act of 2003 criminalizes online speech that can be deemed grossly offensive by the courts. See, this, folks, is why we need to have the presumption of innocence. This is why in the UK, trial by jury was always considered to be the linchpin of their liberties. You know, they didn't have a Bill of Rights. They didn't have anything recorded like we do. But you know what? If you don't believe it as a society, it doesn't matter if you've got a First Amendment or a Second Amendment. Because if you don't really, in your heart of hearts, believe that that is a core value that has to be defended, that those are the core values on which our civilization, our culture rest, as well as our legal system. If you don't believe that strong enough to stand up for it, it's just a piece of paper. And trial by jury has been essentially taken away in both the UK and the US now. I mean, it was such a linchpin of society that you had Gilbert and Sullivan do a whole little light comic opera about trial by jury. But it's why you need to have fully informed juries. These people, you know, 3,000 people are arrested each year in the UK for offensive comments posted online. You better have juries who understand what their real duty is, who understand that they're not going to lock people up because they have a particular religious belief or because they say a particular thing. I mean, this is going back to the 1600s again. We are falling into those same patterns because just as William Penn was told, you can't have your church there. We're only going to have the state church. And if you meet there, we're going to lock you up. And he clearly violated the law, but the jury would not convict him. And so the judge locked up the jury. And these, the two head jurors, the foreman and the co-foreman. And after a period of time in jail, their lawyers came up and said, well, show us the crime. How did they violate any law? They didn't. The jurors didn't violate any law. Show us a crime, habeas corpus. So it established habeas corpus, and it also established that juries must judge whether or not they agree with the law. There was no question that William Penn had violated the law. There's no question that if you got a law that doesn't have any presumption of innocence, these people violated it.
InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product, and we got several thousand of these in, and they're going to sell out in a few days at the rate we're selling them. I want to thank the listeners for getting it, but this really is a game-changing toothpaste, and it doesn't compete with Super Blue that's fortified with colloidal silver and iodine and fluoride-free, the adult or the children's. These are both excellent toothpaste concentrates that don't have fillers. People love it. This is a whitening toothpaste that also has the above sea coral calcium that also cleans but also remineralizes the teeth. Then it has the patented silver sol, silver in it to knock out the bacteria that cause gingivitis. This is all proven. You can make claims with this. But I have to tell you, no one has a toothpaste this good for knocking out the bacteria, the viruses, and cleaning the teeth in a healthy way that doesn't strip away the enamel. So we're really proud of it. It funds the operation, InfoWarsStore.com. And that's why we're still on air, thanks to you. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever.
Who is Alex Jones? Mainstream media calls him a conspiracy theorist, fake news, crazy, and worst of all, a fear monger. But the only thing to truly fear
is missing out on all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday, 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 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points for InfoWarsStore.com Black Friday sale. 50% off your favorites like Survival Shield X2 and X3. 50% off the ultimate bone broth. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Remember when we had llamas? This Black Friday, Friday, Friday. Don't have fear of missing out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points only this Black Friday at InfoWarsStore.com.
Fear of missing out is a serious condition that can only be treated by going to InfoWarsStore.com.
A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have not only the First Amendment, free speech, openly being attacked by people like Sacha Baron Cohen, people across the Democrat Party especially. They just want to purge anybody they disagree with. They're calling for a full-on destruction of the First Amendment, quite frankly, when they do that. And every aspect of the First Amendment. They don't want you being able to see or hear things that they disapprove of. They don't want you being able to repeat any of that or comment on any of that on social media. So they want to keep you blindfolded, deaf and dumb, right? Speechless. That's really what they're trying to do. And, of course, they want you defenseless as well. They want to take your Second Amendment rights. There is a pushback now in Virginia. Many people are talking about several counties in Virginia declaring that they are going to become Second Amendment sanctuary areas. We need to have a sanctuary area for the First Amendment, too. We say we're going to get rid of this whole idea of hate crimes and all of the subjectivity of this. Well, I just had my feelings hurt. One person has their feelings hurt, so you're going to send the police around to arrest somebody? Well, that's what they're already doing in the UK. And they're already doing it here in the United States, like as I pointed out. You know, you got people saying, wait a minute, there's a different set of rules for these people who are meeting in this school. Local officials don't do anything about it. So I said, all right, you don't respond to our requests. I'll videotape this and show you what's going on. Or maybe show the media. And so the people, at that mosque in Minnesota reported the person who was videotaping them to the police. So it's the whistleblowers, that are blowing the whistle on the people in power. That just tells you who's in power, doesn't it? Because, the whistleblowers who expose something that's wrong, they're the ones who go to jail. I mean, we've seen all over California what happens if you have a home church. Oh, you got too many cars there. You're in violation of the parking ordinances. You're in violation of the zoning ordinances, but, you know, not for a mosque. And if you videotape that for a mosque, then you go to jail. So it's, we can talk about what kind of laws we should have, but is there any question that there ought to be two different standards for two different groups? And this is what the left wants. Any speech that they dislike, they will purge so that they are the only ones that can speak. And they don't want you being able to defend yourself. They want their government forces to have all the guns. Fortunately, there's a lot of good people in government at the county level. That's why we have to stand with our constitutional sheriffs. And in Virginia, WHSV reported on what's going on in two different counties there, Giles and Denwittle. Let's run that report, video clip number 10.
Whether we do it with the entire Commonwealth or by ourselves, this is basically a statement saying that we're not going to allow this infringement to take place.
Jennifer Brown is a part of the Rockingham County Republican Party, and she says all across the state of Virginia, there's a movement to declare communities as Second Amendment sanctuaries. Brown believes some legislation could be passed in Richmond that could harm gun owners. Now members of the community are asking Rockingham County's Board of Supervisors to join those other communities in making sure Second Amendment rights are not infringed upon.
Rockingham is imploring our Board of Supervisors to take up this measure as well, just basically stating that they are not going to violate the Second Amendment.
There is a petition online to request the Board of Supervisors adopt a resolution that's pro-Second Amendment. Brown says this is a second chance for red areas around Virginia to make sure their voices are heard.
Whatever we do here locally, we are just making a statement saying that we do not want our Board of Supervisors to use our taxpayer money to implement those infringements.
All right. That's what it's going to take. You got to work at the local level, folks. You can forget about anything positive coming out of Washington. Although, you know, if we get enough people to push back, I think positive things can happen. You know, we just had President Trump reverse himself on vaping prohibition that was pushed by his authoritarian FDA commissioner, who's now gone, Gottlieb. And I saw that over the weekend. And I thought, you know, I agree with that. I don't think the government should be making decisions for people. You can persuade people, and they've been far more effective at persuasion in terms of getting people to stop tobacco use than they have in terms of prohibition to stop people from using all the long list of drugs that were put in by the UN back in 1961. You know, we signed on to that agreement back in 1961, that UN agenda, but each country has to then implement it. And that's why, you know, we look at things like the Paris Climate Accord and so forth. That's why that is so dangerous. First, they come up with an agenda. You agree in principle to that agenda, and then you implement it in law. And so it was 10 years after the UN came up with drug prohibition. They had the four different schedules. They had all the different drugs and all the different schedules. They put marijuana in as a class one, lying to everybody, saying it didn't have any medical use. And then 10 years later, Richard Nixon enacted it into law, calling it his war on drugs. And that has been absolutely ineffective in terms of reducing drug use. It's had exactly the opposite effect, just as alcohol prohibition had exactly the opposite effect. And the government took the approach with tobacco that we'll try to educate people and persuade them. And that was very effective at reducing tobacco usage. So effective that the tobacco companies, who have still a lot of clout, are looking at vaping and pushing the FDA to make sure they prohibit their competitors. But because a lot of people pushed back on that, President Trump relented. And I looked at that over the weekend, and I just shook my head and said, you know, people will stand up, and that's fine. They'll stand up for their ability to have something that is recreational, like vaping. But they just stand silently by when the FDA prohibits using your own stem cells. Family members of mine who are getting treatment using their own stem cells at a fraction of what the big pharmaceutical drugs that would cover up the symptoms would cost on a monthly basis, and being able to do that once every 6 months to 18 months. No, the FDA prohibited that. The FDA is demanding that stored stem cells taken from your own fat, that those be destroyed. And the American public is like, meh, we don't care, but don't take away our vaping. Are you kidding me? I mean, I hope you don't get a serious condition. What they hope is that you don't understand how effective stem cells can be at curing these, not just covering them up, but curing these situations. That's why they banned it. And that's something that could be reversed if people would stand up and push back against it like they did vaping. And I look at President Trump giving a pardon to Gallagher, the Navy SEAL, who I haven't looked at it closely, but it looks to me like it was a case of petty vindictiveness and so forth on the part of people who came after him. That's what he said. President Trump agrees with that. I think you're going to put somebody in that kind of a situation. You don't micromanage their behavior to the degree that they seem to be doing with him. So President Trump pardoned him, and then the Navy tried to claw that back, and so President Trump fired the guy that was head of the Navy, had the defense secretary fire that guy. But President Trump has been silent when it comes to Roger Stone, silent when it comes to General Flynn. I mean, this is all about public perception. You know, get rid of vaping. No, you're not going to do that. But yeah, you can get rid of the stem cells. Going to punish this Navy SEAL. No, you're not going to let you do that. But you can punish Roger, and you can punish General Flynn. Unbelievable. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, 9 others to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalist. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.video. And that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's The David Knight Show.
Have it.
Welcome back. Joining us in the studio is Zach Voorhees. And of course, he is the whistleblower who exposed what Google was doing internally in terms of censorship and so forth. And he is a real whistleblower. I don't really see anybody concerned about what is happening to him, but we are here. And we want to get an update from Zach as to what's going on. And I also want to talk to him about what's coming in physical space, because we see how Google is conducting itself in cyberspace, and not just Google, but all of these Silicon Valley companies, and they are working at taking over our urban space, our physical space. As I talked about it last week, the book that came out, Google Archipelago, talking about how they're setting up digital open-air prisons. These are what they call smart cities. But you got to be pretty stupid to fall for this. But they're pushing this on with other people. If you want to find Zach, you can find him on Twitter at Perpetual Mania. Maniac, right?
Is that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one's misprinted here. Perpetual Maniac is his Twitter handle. Thank you for joining us, Zach.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Let's begin by recapping what you wanted people to hear. You know, unlike what we see going on the Hill, you actually witnessed some things, and you were actually had documents that you released because you were concerned about some abuses of power that you saw. So talk to us a little bit about what you saw at Google that concerned you.
Yeah, so Google was really great up until 2016 when Donald Trump won the election. They decided that they were going to do a 180, throw their mission statements of organizing the world's information and making it universally accessible out the window. And what they started to do is that they started to censor the whole internet. I found out that the things that they were considering, were fake news, specifically, Hillary running weapons through Benghazi to ISIS, to arm ISIS in Syria. They thought that was fake news. Once I saw that, I went, wow, this really did happen.
Yeah, WikiLeaks, another real whistleblower.
Exactly.
Julian Assange, that they're trying to kill, actually gave us the documents on that.
Yes. And so I realized that they weren't trying to get rid of fake news. They were trying to control the narrative. Yeah. And so I looked in, did research, found out that there was a secret program called Machine Learning Fairness, and I started gathering documents. I decided to leak when I saw and caught Google deleting words out of their Arabic translation dictionary in order to make a Trump tweet sound crazy.
Wow.
That's when I knew that I was part of an organization that was committing sedition against the president. So I took the 950 pages that I had collected on their surveillance system, and I gave it out to the Department of Justice Antitrust Division, and then also disclosed it to the public via Project Veritas and James O'Keefe.
And is the Department of Justice doing anything with that? I mean, what has happened in the wake of this? So we've had you on, and Project Veritas has had you on, but, you know.
I've been getting intel from various tech companies that there is an investigation going on right now. And we don't know if it's related to Google. The only thing that the DOJ is saying in their letter is that they're investigating a very large technical company.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I can think of several suspects.
Yeah.
Yeah, just exactly. Google, but, and what has happened to your life has turned your life upside down, losing your job. And again, I want to thank you for doing this because I've worked as an engineer in the past, and I know that, you know, people get, invest a great deal of time, into, you know, creating a career wherever it is. I mean, they could be somebody who is working for the government and they have to blow the whistle on something that's happening there. So this is, wherever somebody is a whistleblower, what they're doing at that point in time is they're essentially burning their career. And that's a big decision, you know, for them to do that. And hats off to you for doing the right thing. And putting these principles above your own personal, welfare, I should say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you very much. You know, I've got a lot of irons in the fire, so I'm not really like hurting for money right now. I do know that I am blacklisted, already. But you know, what I'm doing for the next year is I got to make sure that the elections, the integrity of the elections in the United States are secure.
Yes.
Google's been caught meddling in the U.S. election. It's been caught meddling in the Irish election, and it's been caught meddling in the Brazil elections. They were also instrumental in the overthrow of Egypt during the Arab Spring. Not very many people know that it was a Google employee that fomented the revolution, and he also worked for the CIA. And
yeah,
so,
we just had a Twitter employee exposed as being an active MI6 agent, and they were asking for people to become reserve officers for MI6 who were working for tech companies because they wanted to use this. And he works for an arm of the British government that is all about propaganda. It's their propaganda wing. You know, and they, so we're seeing this alliance really between these big tech censors and the intelligence community, the military industrial complex across the board, across many different countries. And that's the thing that concerns me. They all seem to be doing this type of thing.
Yeah. And the thing is that these big tech companies will sneak in their infrastructure under false pretenses. Oh, we're just trying to like make, you know, good internet infrastructure. And then, when it comes to an opportunity to foment revolution, then they'll take control of the SMS system. Like this is what we saw with Libya, mm-hmm. is that text messages were blocked if they were loyal to Gaddafi, and text messages were actually sent from people's phones without them sending it if they were rebels. And this was done because Google, you know, installed their infrastructure into Libya, you know, and then once they got critical mass and revolution was afoot, they, you know, threw the switch and started engaging in active subversion tactics to destabilize the region. And, you know, they're able to flip the country.
Well, the other thing too, Zach, that I want to commend you on is the fact that so many people that I've worked with, you get as an engineer or technical person, you get so caught up in the puzzle, in the problem that you're trying to solve, and you get very narrow blinders on, and you don't really pay attention to the larger issues. Like, how is this technology going to be used, for example? It's one of the reasons why I refused to work for the military industrial complex, because I had concerns about how, if I was going to do something, I didn't want to be a part of some big machine that was then going to take something that I'd had a small part of and use that in a way that I would not approve of. And so I wanted to work on things that were more consumer-oriented as opposed to military-oriented, because I didn't have any control over the policies. But most people that I knew were just interested in the technical issues, and they never thought about the long-term consequences of this type of stuff. And I'm thinking about other types of projects that Google is involved in, artificial intelligence or robotics or whatever, where they become a military contractor. Or, as we're going to talk about coming up in the next segment, I want to get your thoughts on what's happening in these smart cities like Sidewalk Labs up in Toronto, where Google is essentially creating a social credit system like the Chinese government has done there. You know, you do what we say, you let us observe everything that we do, or you're going to be punished for doing this and essentially taking over urban space and physical space like they have cyberspace. So I really want to thank you for doing that. And it's very important. You're a good example of why engineers need to know, or anybody that's technical or even governmental people, don't get so caught up in your specialty that you don't see what the big picture is.
Yeah. And the thing is that we really need to reach out to the engineers with our messaging, mm-hmm. because, firsthand experience, a lot of the engineers have no idea what's going on. And when you try to, you know, reach them and tell them, hey, this is like what's going on, like, what do you think? And they are actively resistant against the information because, you know, people are ignorant when it comes to showing them that what their work is doing is actually bad for the community.
That's right.
And they don't want to listen to it. And so the only way to break through that is by repeatedly, you know, revealing what's going on. And eventually you're going to start reaching people, like, for example, myself. They become activated, and then they can cause a lot of trouble for the company's secret plans.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key. You got a career bias against looking at that. You're busy with the details of your particular job, and you don't want to hear that, and you don't look at that. And that's why that is so important about what you did. We'll be right back with Zach Voorhees talking about the Gulag, the Google archipelago. Stay with us.
Who is Alex Jones? Mainstream media calls him a conspiracy theorist, fake news, crazy, and worst of all, a fear monger. But the only thing to truly fear
is missing out on all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday, 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 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points for InfoWarsStore.com Black Friday sale. 50% off your favorites like Survival Shield X2 and X3. 50% off the Ultimate Bone Broth. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Remember when we had llamas? This Black Friday, Friday, Friday. Don't have fear of missing out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points only this Black Friday at InfoWarsStore.com.
Fear of missing out is a serious condition and can only be treated by going to InfoWarsStore.com.
I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spent a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration, the supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product, and we got several thousand of these in, and they're going to sell out in a few days at the rate we're selling them. I want to thank the listeners for getting it, but this really is a game-changing toothpaste, and it doesn't compete with Super Blue that's 4 to 5 of colloidal silver and iodine and fluoride free, the adult or the children's. These are both excellent toothpaste concentrates that don't have fillers. People love it. This is a whitening toothpaste that also has the above sea coral calcium that also cleans but also remineralizes the teeth. Then it has the patented silver sol, silver in it to knock out the bacteria that cause gingivitis. This is all proven. You can make claims with this. But I have to tell you, no one has a toothpaste this good for knocking out the bacteria, the viruses, and cleaning the teeth in a healthy way that doesn't strip away the enamel. So we're really proud of it. It funds the operation. InfoWarsStore.com. That's why we're still on air, thanks to you. Major report out of major university. Researchers working on food-based treatment to slow aging, Science Daily. Probiotics in the gut of a particular type cause your entire body to be healthier and make you live longer and make you not get intestinal cancer. We have the very best formula, literally, with what they even mention in the studies. And it explains that the hormone called FGF21 pro-longevity heals the entire body and actually reverses aging, but is only made in the lower intestine. Oh, and what does it say? It's fiber from a spectrum of certain types of berries that grows this. And yes, this is a plug. Gut Fusion. And what do we have in this? High auric berry blend, strawberry, blueberry, blackberry, cranberry, escoblio, grape, and pomegranate. It's the pulp from them that then grows this. Gut Fusion for children, for young people, for old people, for everybody. This is fiber and glutamine. You're not going to find a better formula. Gut Fusion. It's amazing. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Zach Voorhees, and he, of course, is the Google whistleblower. He saw censorship going on at Google. He saw them manipulating the news, and he blew the whistle on that. You can find him on Twitter at Perpetual Maniac. Perpetual Maniac is his handle on Twitter. And we've been talking about how he was treated as a whistleblower, the things that he lost by blowing the whistle, because it never comes without expense, but it's always principled people who do that. I mean, I've talked to so many whistleblowers, people like John Kiriakou, who was sent to prison because he exposed the torture by the CIA. And, of course, the people who did it were rewarded for that. The psychologists who trained the CIA, they got millions of dollars. And the lady who destroyed all the video evidence, she got appointed as the head of the CIA, Gina Haspel. So, but he exposed it. He went to jail. And that's typically what happens to the whistleblowers. They're the ones who get punished. And the illegal action doesn't usually stop. But hopefully something is going to change with that. I wanted to kind of pick your brain as to where we're going in the future, because a couple of things that are concerning to me as you exposed Google manipulating the news, changing the news, and hiding information from people, a search engine that hides information. What a novel idea. Orwellian. But as you talked about that, we now have coming from Microsoft and the Pentagon, we have a thing called NewsGuard, where you get that check mark, you know, for particular news organizations. And we all know that no news organization gets everything right. But they presume with that, they give you, basically, they got a binary system.
And NewsGuard, NewsGuard ranks CNN, like, at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know that it's a total fraud, like, right out the door.
That's right. So they got a, I call them the checkmark checkbook media. You know, that's the, what was being pushed out there for us right now with NewsGuard. And of course, that's built into the browser for Microsoft. But then we also have ElectionGuard, which really concerns me. Because ElectionGuard, I don't know if you are aware of it, but it's got funding, $10 million given to a small company that's a wholly owned subsidiary of Microsoft. And they're telling us they're going to protect the election. Now, what have we heard for the last couple of years? We've heard, well, the Russians hacked our election. And yet, they'll be very quick to say, no, they didn't change any votes. They hacked the election because they ran some ads on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
But they keep putting that term out there, hacked, because they want to control the electronic voting, you know, basically secure it, which means that they can also hack it themselves. That's what's concerning me, is the fact that you're going to have Microsoft and DARPA and the military industrial complex guarding the votes on all the electronic voting machines. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's kind of the problem reaction solution sort of methodology. These tech giants want to control the election. They want to count the votes. And in order for them to justify that solution, they need to push out the idea that we've got a problem where our elections are so insecure that we can't help but get hacked by Russia. And it's really amazing because, you know, when this whole hacking narrative came out at the very start, it was like something like 17 different intelligence agencies, you know, that were being run still by the Obama officials, you know, saying, oh, yeah, we totally got our election hacked. And then I started to look at the data to verify what they were saying, and I couldn't find any single piece of data that they were referencing that substantiated any of their claims.
I did. It was actually something that Hillary Clinton said during one of the debates.
Oh, it did.
And then it was repeated by James Clapper, the 17 agencies, right? It was Hillary who said that.
Yeah.
And then James Clapper repeated it, and under questioning, he admitted, well, it wasn't 17 agencies. It was the NSA, the CIA, and the FBI who came to my office. They sent a representative to my office, and they did what I told them. You know, I told them that it was hacked, and so they agreed. That's what it amounted to.
That's what it was.
That's what happened to the 17 intelligence agents.
Right. There was some letter saying that, you know, there was a hacking attempt on the local elections. And when I looked into the data that supported that, basically they said that they had gotten some suspicious emails. And so they made this like logical leap that the entire election system had gotten hacked because they had received some like spam email. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this was the evidence. And the thing is
and it came from the feds.
Yeah.
When they tracked it down, it came from the feds. It was the feds who were initiating that. You know, again, it's a classic false flag.
Yeah.
You know, if we go back and we look at this, again, there is vulnerability. You know, every year at DEF CON and Black Hat,
yeah,
we got them, you know, doing replicas of state boards of elections. And they had, it was the one in 2018, they had kids come in. I think the oldest kid was 15, and they had a competition to see how long it took them to hack the replicas of the state boards.
It was like something like 90 seconds,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like some young girl did it, and then, but eventually all the kids that they brought in, except one or two of them, were able to hack in. And, so they were trying to illustrate the point of this vulnerability. But instead of removing the point of vulnerability, the electronic voting machines, what they do is they say, well, we got to add another level of complexity, which is going to be the, election, guard, you know, run by DARPA. And perfect false flag.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that Iraq knows how to create a valid election. Like I saw everyone with the finger.
Exactly.
You know, covered in ink. And you're, I'm like, wait a minute. We could just have done that the entire time and been able to secure our elections.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole idea that our elections are
We were helping them to do that. You know, we're coming and saying, we're going to have honest elections. So you have everybody put indelible ink on their finger. You know, that was the U.S. government operating. They know how to run an honest election. But they don't want an honest election. Yeah. And so when you take these two things, how they can manipulate information, hide information, then put out false information, which is what you exposed Google doing, and then you combine that with the fact that then they're going to count the votes, you can see it, they're going to put out a false narrative about various things, including polling and other things like that. And I think then they'll support it with their falsified results.
Yeah, and then, you know, they falsify these reports, and then they're able to get the justification for the solution, which is predetermined, and then they slide that in. But the thing is that we can stop them by exposing that, you know, their problem reaction solution is actually generated. It's being manufactured. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, then, you know, then we can expose them as a bunch of clowns running a circus, to try to get their totalitarian fantasies manifest into reality.
You know, Google is intruding itself into our physical life now. You know, they've completely dominated cyberspace. When we look at what's going on in Toronto, which is where they're breaking ground on their sidewalk labs, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all of the smart city stuff is sold to people on the basis of protecting the environment. And you had a lot of people who signed on to that in Toronto. And then they started to realize that Google was going to track every aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. So they started pulling back. And then Google started drawing people back in again. And then the local paper found a yellow yellow paper that Google had outlining in detail what their further plans were. And they're looking at getting corporate governance handed over to them in these areas, just like Disney negotiated in the Orlando area, said, you're going to give us police and fire capability and everything. But Google is looking at something far more extensive than that. Plus, they look at everything that everybody's going to be doing to establish a kind of Chinese social credit system. Your comments on that and what we can do about that?
You know, in China, the ruling party has so much control that they just tell their citizens, look, we're putting in a social credit system. But in America and Canada, we're more free than that. And so they can't just tell us what they're going to do because it will be able to, you know, reflect that in the next election. Instead, they have to do this psyop sort of thing where
they have to deceive us.
They have to deceive us. They have to trick us. They have to use all these manipulation tactics in order for us to give them all of our data for free. And so this is what they're trying to do, is that they're trying to use this carrot and the stick sort of thing with this test run of a surveillance city where everything that you do is tracked and monitored and put up on a dashboard. And if you give them your data, if you allow yourself to be surveilled, then what they'll do is that they'll give you like little like freebies or whatever it is that they're, that they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is a, you know, whenever the elite wants to launch something at scale, they always have to test it and work out all the kinks at smaller sales. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, this is what we're looking at right here. We're looking at a small scale, operation in Canada. And if this is successful, then they'll scale it up. If it's not successful, they'll figure out why. They'll change it. They'll try it again, possibly in a different city or the same. And then once it is ready, then they bring it to larger parts of Canada, and they're going to try to bring this to the United States as well.
That's right. Yeah, they've already got plans to bring it into Detroit and to Denver and Alameda, California to try these small things. And it is a small part of Toronto. They're not going to be taking over all of Toronto. Not yet. But that's the key point about that. And I want to talk about that when we come back, and that is big data. Knowing everything about everybody is what has made Google and Facebook and all these companies, that has been their business model. And it's one of the things that George Gilder talked about in Life After Google, how we have to understand how these people operate. What is the basis of their power? And, you know, when I look at this, and the liberals who get upset about this, they get upset about the fact that this information is being sold to corporations. I get upset about the fact that it's being sold to the government. The liberals are never concerned about what the government's going to do with information. They're only concerned that somebody's going to try to sell them a Coke or a car or something like that. But the stuff where it gets really concerning is when they turn this over to the government. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. We were talking to Zach Voorhees, the Google whistleblower. We'll be right back.
The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, Infowars.com and Band.video, and that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at Infowars.com/show and Band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square.
Who is Alex Jones? Mainstream media calls him a conspiracy theorist. fake news, crazy, and worst of all, a fear monger. But the only thing to truly fear
is missing out on all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday, 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 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points for InfoWarsStore.com Black Friday sale. 50% off your favorites like Survival Shield X2 and X3. 50% off the Ultimate Bone Broth. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Remember when we had llamas? This Black Friday, Friday, Friday. Don't have fear of missing out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points only this Black Friday at InfoWarsStore.com.
Fear of missing out is a serious condition and can only be treated by going to InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Zach Voorhees, and he is the Google whistleblower. You can find him on Twitter at Perpetual Maniac. We've been talking about Google and its plans for our life, for our future. One of the things, of course, Zach, that when we look at the smart city plan and the idea that, you know, they're going to hold it over your head, you're going to have certain privileges in the areas that they control, and they're looking for, at having complete corporate control of urban spaces. And one author has put it, it's going to be a Google archipelago, referring to the gulags, right? Mm-hmm. An open-air prison, if you will. You'll have the illusion of freedom, just as you have the illusion of freedom on the Internet now. But what you see is being carefully curated. We've seen this over and over again. You blew the whistle on that in detail, but, of course, we've also we've had times when we go in and say, look up a particular term, like an idiot or something like that. There's all pictures from Google of President Trump, but you go to some other search engine and it's all over the place. So we know that they're rigging the information there as to what you can see. But there's other means of control, and they're going to extend that into urban space, into physical space. When we look at what is going on with artificial intelligence and how Google has put themselves in position to own all the most promising companies, just like they have with robotics and so forth, what are your concerns going forward about smart cities and what our work future is going to be like?
Yeah, well, you know, AI is producing a fundamental problem, which is what are we going to do when the AI is smarter than your average person? Mm-hmm. They can, you know, they're learning how to drive cars, they're learning how to, you know, write programs, they're learning how to do all these things that were really, you know, up to smart people in order to do. And now that Google's AI is going to be able to do this, there's this structural unemployment that's going to result from that.
And they're going to need to pacify and contain us.
Yeah. Right?
And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. And so one of the things that they're offering as a replacement for the lost income is that they're saying, well, we should just put everyone on UBI, which is essentially
universal basic income. Yang's, and he's got a lot of support in the technocrats in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. And the UBI concept has already been played out, you know, through communism. Mm-hmm. I went to Cuba. They've got essentially UBI. It's called a ration card.
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
This is what they want to do. They want to make sure that, you know, all the people that are unemployed become, you know, equal across society and that they're given money and then, but they're monitored so that, you know, if anyone appears and says, hey, this is wrong, then, you know, the dashboard knows about, reports about it immediately. And that's really what they want is they want social control.
Yeah.
So they can control the population.
And, you know, George Gilder, in his book, Life After Google, talked about the fact that these technocrats of Silicon Valley, he called them neo-Marxists. He said, like Karl Marx believed with the Industrial Revolution that they'd solved all production issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had infinite material wealth, The question was it going to be distributed, and was it going to be distributed equitably? Okay, so that's the whole premise of Karl Marx and his materialism and so forth. But these neo-Marxists, these technocrats that we have today, are coming from the same position. They say, look at this, we have infinite capability of production and the artificial intelligence and the robotics. They can produce all this stuff, so we only have to just worry about how we're going to dole it out to kids, to people like kids on allowance.
Yeah, and what's really sad is that when this was tried under Marxism, you know, in the Soviet Union, they didn't create a model of abundance. They created a model of scarcity, because that's right. They realized is that when someone is under the threat of not having enough food, not having enough money, not having whatever, then they're more easily controlled.
And well, it was a plan of abundance for the elite who ran the system, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to be right back. Stay with us, talking to Zach Voorhees, the Google whistleblower. We'll be right back.
Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to the Google whistleblower, Zach Voorhees. We're talking about, what is coming up in the next few years? You know, Zach, as we look at this, and we look at the smart cities and everything, we've got a time frame on when this is going to happen. You know, you've got people who are very successful, like the people who run these big tech corporations. Whenever they've got a goal, they put a time on it. Because if you've got a goal and you don't have some kind of a timeline that you expect this to happen, you've got nothing but a wish. Mm-hmm. These people are good at accomplishing things. And that goal that they've put on this to have this happen is 2030. We see this happening over and over again. Every time you look up Smart City, it's all coming to 2030. It's coming from the UN, and everybody has signed on to that. That is the time frame in which they expect to have this in. And it's looking pretty realistic that they can do this. Now, what they envision in 2030 is for us to be confined into these cities where they monitor and control everything that we do. We were just talking about universal basic income. Your comments were that we've seen this played out before. It's nothing but communism. And George Gilder is absolutely right. It's a kind of neo-Marxism. When they focus on materialism, you know, you wind up destroying humanity, because humanity thrives under freedom. Freedom of choice and liberty and that sort of thing. And so your society is going to collapse with that as well. But it doesn't mean that this won't happen if people follow this without understanding where the end game is taking us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the thing is that the reality of the situation is that we have such an advanced economy right now that we can actually produce everything that everyone wants today with very little work inputs. And what we could have seen is an example of communism show up that provided everyone with everything that they needed and produced a very happy society. But we have yet to see that. Once you centralize control of a civilization, what follows always is terror, and the elimination of freedom and a whole bunch of misery. Like, go down to Cuba, and if you drive the streets between the different cities, there are so few drivers that I was able to just like get out of my car and lay down on the road and look at the stars, which, you know, gave me like an indication of what communism really means. It basically doesn't increase abundance. It only increases scarcity.
Well, and you're talking about the cars in Cuba. I mean, it essentially froze the state of the cars, because you go down, all the cars are classic 1950s. Because
all these clunkers, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, people who want to fix those things up, they've got a, it's like a, it's an entire country of garage fines. You know, they can go down there and they can get these, 1950s cars and bring them back and restore them or whatever, because everything froze at that point because they took away people's freedom. And they said, well, we will allocate the resources and, you know, we'll be in control of the economy. And that is the fundamental issue. We've seen this happen over and over again, even in America in the 1840s and 50s and so forth. We had an outbreak of a lot of utopian communities. Mm-hmm. You know, NIDA was one of them in New York. They all failed because they were all organized around socialism and communism and some centrally planned economy. Some, you know, even though even on a small scale, it doesn't work. It certainly doesn't work on a national scale.
Yeah, like, you know, there's like a limit, I think it's called the Dunbar limit, where like if you know everyone and it's like 120 people. And I think that socialism, communism can work up to that point where everyone knows each other. But once you start getting like beyond that, where you can't remember everyone in the group necessarily, you start getting factions, you know, why are you appropriating my work output for this other group? Mm-hmm. And then you try to blow that up to the national scale. And then the whole country, and it suddenly it becomes even more contradictory. It doesn't work at all. It falls apart, and then people just get angry at each other, and you start getting, race wars. What's really interesting in communist China and communist Russia, they actually had cities for different racial groups. You know, if you were this race, you couldn't go to this other city, which was in direct, you know, contradiction to everything that they said, we're all going to be equal. But as soon as they took control, you know, it's like, no, you're going to stay in this city and you're going to stay in this other city, because mixing all these people together is just going to create conflict. And, you know, once these Marxists take over, you know, they want a stable system. And so the whole like multicultural experiment ends, and, you know, and then they try to stabilize their control over society. And then you get like, you know, 30 million dead in the Soviet Union. You get 70 million dead, you know, in the Chinese communist system. And
it fails to deliver the goods. It fails to let people innovate. And that's my concern as we look at this going forward. We've never, when we look at artificial intelligence and so forth, we've never seen a situation where people are projecting the kind of disruption in every single industry horizontally across all industries all at once. And not only that, but many people have not realized that what we're talking about is disruption from the bottom to the top. It's not just the people who have menial jobs at the bottom, but it's going to be affecting even engineers in South Korea, where they're really jumping into artificial intelligence, and they see this as creating their new utopia and so forth. They're talking about how 70% of the doctors and lawyers are going to be unemployed by 2030, and they're excited about that. I mean, South Korea is going into this in a big way. So, you know, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, how do we pull this back? I mean, do we have to go back and have some kind of, some enclaves that are kind of, Amish or something?
It's interesting. Peter Thiel said that AI sort of represents communism, this total surveillance state where some all-seeing eye sees everything that you're doing. And then he said that if AI represents communism, then crypto represents libertarianism. Mm-hmm. And that if you're able to hide your data, protect your data, like communicate securely so that someone else can't snoop in, then this is sort of the libertarian equivalent. And so I think that, you know, on a general like direction that we should be going, we should be investing in crypto. We should allow people the freedom to be able to encrypt their communications and communicate securely, and put limitations on the surveillance that, you know, we have on every single person. Like,
and that's the premise of George Gilder's Life After Google. He said, you know, the way that these people thrive is by getting everybody to come in for free, and they get big data, then they try to add security after the fact. That doesn't work. He said, what you're going to have, same thing, a blockchain-based system where you own your own data, and you therefore have privacy, and everything is built on top of that. Now, of course, the danger of that is that one of the control tactics that technocrats want to impose on people. And of course, the governments as well. China is moving towards cryptocurrency, banning everybody else and putting in their own cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. Facebook, Zuckerberg has proposed his Libra. One of the selling points in his white paper was, I'll give you information on everybody. It will become a global ID. So, you know, with any technology, it comes with two different sides. And so we got to be careful when we go into crypto, that it doesn't become a global ID, but it does have the possibility of keeping that kind of privacy for us. But we've got to do something about physical space, too, when we talk about smart cities.
Yeah, exactly. And this whole crypto thing from, you know, Facebook is actually pretty alarming because Facebook does not have a good track record.
No.
With, I mean, how many billions of accounts have they deleted off of their Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they're.
Well, people, this show's one of them.
Right? It's like you've eliminated half your users because it turns out they were fake spam bots. Mm-hmm. And now you're trying to assign an identity. And it's just like, dude, Mark, get rid, you know, fix your whole security problem where all these fake accounts are being, you know, generated. And then we can start talking about, you know, how to digitize, you know, a physical person into the digital space and have them interact in cyberspace.
Yeah. They don't have, again, you know, when you look at their connections with a big government, that's the thing that concerns me. And we should always be skeptical of these solutions. And I think we go back and just like we were talking about the, universal basic income and how people are focused on distributing material goods. We don't want the government distributing that. And the way that you do that is you make, in terms of government, you make the primary thing liberty. How does this keep us free? And I think we need to put some real restrictions on what's going to happen in physical space right now. It's already gone way too far in terms of the proliferation of cameras everywhere and the way that this being used to collect biometric data on people. We need
or
to
microphones.
Put in,
like, have you ever gone to an Airbnb and then the person's got a Google Home in their house, and it's like you didn't disclose that this house was going to be surveilled by Google.
Can you stay with us one more segment?
I can.
All right, we'll have one more segment here with Zach Voorhees. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalist. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said, it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is, there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product, and we got several thousand of these in, and they're going to sell out in a few days at the rate we're selling them. I want to thank the listeners for getting it, but this really is a game-changing toothpaste, and it doesn't compete with Super Blue that's fortified with colloidal silver and iodine and fluoride-free, the adult or the children's. These are both excellent toothpaste, concentrates that don't have fillers. People love it. This is a whitening toothpaste that also has the above sea coral calcium that also cleans but also remineralizes the teeth. Then it has the patented silver sol, silver in it to knock out the bacteria that cause gingivitis. This is all proven. You can make claims with this. But I have to tell you, no one has a toothpaste this good for knocking out the bacteria, the viruses, and cleaning the teeth in a healthy way that doesn't strip away the enamel. So we're really proud of it. It funds the operation. InfoWarsStore.com. That's why we're still on air, thanks to you.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Zach Voorhees. He's the Google whistleblower. You can find him on Twitter at Perpetual Maniac. As we're going to break, Zach was talking about, the fact that you go into a Airbnb and you've got all these devices there that are listening to you. And I mean, this is in California where they're pretty jealous about that kind of stuff, right?
Right. They've got a two-party consent law where if you're in a place where you have an expectation of privacy, then both people need to consent to be recorded. Now, that doesn't happen in the public space, but it definitely happens if you go to a hotel room or you go to an Airbnb. They should tell you whether that you're going to be under surveillance. And what I've noticed is I go into these places, these houses, and there is a Google Home or Amazon Alexa. And I was like, hey, I didn't get notified that all of my conversations when I entered into this room was going to be uploaded to the Google Cloud system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what they're doing. And what's really shocking is the degree that they will come after whistleblowers that disclose dirt on places like Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
There was this
David Lyden and the people at Center for Medical Progress where they set up an undercover investigation. Now, after coming after them for RICO violations, where the judge said they're guilty, you just determine what the fine is going to be. Now they're going to come after them for felony violations for what you're just talking about. The fact that, you recorded these people without getting their two-party consent, and yet they're looking the other way when the technocrats do that.
Right, and the thing is that it's illegal for Planned Parenthood to sell aborted baby meat. And, he caught them doing a criminal activity. And so, Planned Parenthood sued him. It was a rigged jury system. David got fined $850,000, but then they applied RICO, which is something that was used to go after the mob.
Yeah.
And they turned this around and said, okay, we're going to, triple damages?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something like $2.3 million.
Yeah.
He now has to pay for recording Planned Parenthood, breaking the law.
And as he pointed out, look, they had reasonable expectation that that was what was going on based on 2020 reports going back to the year 2000, based on more recent reports, so Planned Parenthood in Kansas and so forth, I think in 2013. So they said, look, this has been reported by other people. There was a congressional investigation about this at one point in time, so we had reason to believe that this was the case. This is what the government does all the time. They do undercover investigations. It's what journalists do all the time. But this is a rigged system that we've got here. And but as you're pointing out, it's the double standard that we see. They don't care if the technocrats are eavesdropping on people with their so-called smart devices.
And but don't you dare surveillance them.
Exactly. We're talking during the break, you know, when we talk about smart cities and smart cars and smart thermostats and smart appliances and so forth, these people must have watched Get Smart, you know, Maxwell Smart, because they're spying. Anytime you see smart, just think spying, okay, because that's really what's going on.
Exactly.
Control. These are people working for control.
They have to dress it up in this, like, nice word, right? Like, when I disclose machine learning fairness, the censorship algorithm, like, they don't call it, like, you know, the censorship algorithm that's going to spy on you all the time. They call it fairness, because how could you be against fairness?
Yeah. Like the Patriot Act.
Like the Patriot Act, right?
Or communications decency. That's the one thing. Now, when we look at this, and you look at the censorship that's going on, I mean, I look at the Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. I think what should happen is that should actually be applied by the government. The government is pressuring these different technical companies to censor for them. We saw that happening with Marco Rubio at the hearings and so forth. But if you go back to that law that was passed in 1996, it was saying, hey, they don't have any responsibility or legal liability to shut people down. And I think we ought to have some politicians that are out there saying, look, here's your free speech protection here, this 230, and we're going to let you do that. We're not going to hold you responsible for this. But they do just the opposite. They browbeat them. You had Marco Rubio saying to Google, you're going to censor when we tell you, not when China tells you, right?
Yeah. And the thing is that Section 230 gives blanket immunity for these companies to, like, return any search results or be a forum in the public as long as they don't censor for political content.
That's right.
And
so they violated that.
Google and
Facebook.
Because
the government has leaned on them and said do it for political purposes, or they do it because of their own political bias. But either way, they, as you've exposed with your whistleblowing, that's what they are doing. But in reality, you know, they ought to just be out there, as Jack Dorsey said. He said, it was another official at Twitter, we're going to be the free speech wing of the free speech party. But now they say, well, not anymore.
Yeah, they just, you know, turn around and just throw it away, you know, when they've got control. And the thing is that if we had, strong libel and defamation laws, then what we would be able to find out is that we could be able to, you know, turn this around and say, look, if you're not going to allow this to be a public forum, then, hey, Google, every single time you return results, you're actually acting as a publisher. And so, you know, when they publish defamation and they publish slander, then you could say, look, Google, this is untrue and we're going to sue you for this. And we see already that Google and the big tech giants are starting to use this argument in court. Facebook is responding to Laura Loomer's accusation that they are defaming her by saying, look, we can defame you, Laura Loomer, because we have First Amendment protections in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're saying is that they're throwing down the gauntlet and they're saying, look, we don't care if it's libelous. We don't care if it's defamation. That's our free speech right. And so, you know, if we need to bring back libel laws, we need to bring back defamation, because these media companies are slandering people and they're saying things that are untrue, and there's no recourse. Like, look what's happening to the Covington kids. Like,
yeah. They're not neutral anymore.
Yeah. Right?
The whole idea behind the 230 was that they were going to be neutral platforms, that they weren't going to control speech. But now if they do control speech, now they should have liability. And I think it also goes back to the Marsh versus Alabama case, where you had a corporate town and they threw this woman out of the public square who was handing out documents and went all this way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, even if you own the public square, you can't throw away people's free speech.
Yeah.
I think they need to bring that back as well. I mean, that's the bottom line. To me, that would be consistent with what they had put in there with Section 230, saying this is going to be a public square and you're not going to exercise any control over it.
Like, they grew their entire business model on that premise, that they're a public square. And now all of a sudden the president that they don't approve of gets elected, so they're just going to throw all of that away. Like, mm-hmm. that's what they're doing right now. And mm-hmm. it's just like, hold on, I'm sorry, you can't do that. And if you're going to do that, we're going to pay attention and we're going to, you know, start like making changes in the culture. And then downstream of that is going to be changes in politics. And that's what you're seeing right now.
Now, you know, one of the things, as we talk about how they're pulling in the different tactics that are being used by the Chinese government, there's a lot of concern from people in terms of how Google has become a compliant partner of the Chinese government and these other corporations, but you worked at Google, how they have become a partner of the Chinese government to censor for them. What did you see anything along those lines in terms of Dragonfly and other things like that that you're aware of or hear people concerned about that?
Yeah, so
Oh, you know, we're coming up to a break.
Okay.
One more section?
We'll
come right back and we'll address that question in terms of Google and what they're doing in terms of picking sides between countries, not just picking political sides within this country. We'll be right back with Zach Voorhees. You can find him at Perpetual Maniac. We'll be right back.
Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech. And to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.Video. And that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.Video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square. Major report out of major university. Researchers working on food-based treatment to slow aging, Science Daily. Probiotics in the gut of a particular type cause your entire body to be healthier and make you live longer and make you not get intestinal cancer. We have the very best formula, literally, with what they even mention in the studies. And it explains that the hormone called FGF21 pro-longevity heals the entire body and actually reverses aging, but is only made in the lower intestine. Oh, and what does it say? It's fiber from a spectrum of certain types of berries that grows this. And yes, this is a plug. Gut Fusion. And what do we have in this? High auric berry blend, strawberry, blueberry, blackberry, cranberry, escoblio, grape, and pomegranate. It's the pulp from them that then grows this. Gut Fusion for children, for young people, for old people, for everybody. This is fiber and glutamine. You're not going to find a better formula. Gut Fusion. It's amazing. InfoWarsStore.com.
Who is Alex Jones? Mainstream media calls him a conspiracy theorist, fake news, crazy, and worst of all, a fear monger. But the only thing to truly fear
is missing out on all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday, 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 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points for InfoWarsStore.com Black Friday sale. 50% off your favorites like Survival Shield X2 and X3. 50% off the Ultimate Bone Broth. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Remember when we had llamas? This Black Friday, Friday, Friday. Don't have fear of missing out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points only this Black Friday at InfoWarsStore.com.
Fear of missing out is a serious condition and can only be treated by going to InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. defending the American dream. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Zach Voorhees about, he's the Google whistleblower, so we're talking to him about technology, its impact on our lives. We're going to get into what's going on with Google and China. Cautionary tale that he has to relay about that as well. Before we do, before we go back to Zach, I just want to remind you about the Black Friday sale that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. What we sell at InfoWarsStore.com is what funds this program and everything that we do here at InfoWars. And we have added not only 50% off, but free shipping and triple Patriot points. Now, Patriot points are your discounts for future purchases. That means that every dollar that you spend there, you now earn triple Patriot points. We've never done that before. We've done double, but we've never done triple before. So that's equivalent to 15% off coming in the future on future products. But we've got a lot of products, as I pointed out before. DNA Force Plus, now 50% off. That is a huge dollar savings on a very important supplement. But some of our other supplements that have been out of stock because of their popularity, like krill oil, that's now back in stock and 50% off. Same thing with Ultra 12, that's 50% off. One of our newest products, VasoBeat, and again, we call it a VasoBeat because it is concentrated beet juice, which acts as a vasodilator. That's right. Nutraceuticals, natural foods can be very, very effective and safe. And so we have VasoBeat, a vasodilator. That is now back in stock and 50% off. We have our Super Blue toothpaste at 50% off. And we have our newest Super Silver whitening toothpaste that just came out recently. Again, a whitening agent. It recalcifies your teeth as well. And that is 25% off. Most of our products, however, are 50% off right now. Triple Patriot points and free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do need and appreciate your support. All right, Zach, we were talking just as we were getting ready to go to break. We started talking about what's going on with China and how they are extending their reach. The same types of tactics that we've seen in the past with China for people who want to do business within China, now they're starting to extend those tactics outside of China to anybody that wants to do business with them as well, right?
Yeah, so what's really an interesting story is the story of DeepMind. So DeepMind is Google's AI Manhattan project. Mm-hmm. They're dumping a bunch of resources to create this like godlike AI system that has access to all of the world's history of information. And the scary thing about this is that it's being appropriated by China. Now, why do I say that? Because Google's AI cloud, vice president, Fifi Li, who is a Chinese national, is the one opening up Beijing's AI lab. And she said in a Google blog post that when it comes to AI, Google does not have borders or boundaries.
Well,
and the thing is that, if there is an AI lab that is being opened, is running in China, then, Google has to share that information with China's military. And the reason why we know this is because in 2017, the president of China said that there was going to be a military civil fusion of information such that any technology that had an application for the Chinese military had to be shared with that military.
Wow, that is very concerning because, this kind of projection into artificial intelligence that we've already seen in other industries, as Google is saying, if you want to do business here, if you want to market your movies here, you're going to have to portray China in a positive light or whatever. They've now also gone into other companies and said, you're going to have Chinese people and your staff outside of China, and you're going to provide information back to us on demand if you want to do business with China. And so they're now extending, using their economic leverage to extend tentacles into corporations outside of the jurisdiction. So when I look at this, I kind of wonder why all these people who are so against nationalism, all these globalists who say, we got to have open borders, we got to move everybody around. I mean, the Pope is making overtures to Beijing, as he is essentially downplaying and giving the back of his hand to Hong Kong and to Taiwan, because China does not want Hong Kong recognized, so the Pope doesn't recognize them. So as we see these demands being pushed out there, we should be very concerned about their desire to extend, you know, they're very aggressive, they're very hyper-nationalist. You know, we're talking about how they're not only, as I say all the time, they're not communists, they're really national socialists like Nazis, because they are hyper-nationalists, they're bent on projecting their military strength elsewhere, and now we're seeing that in artificial intelligence as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny is that when you look at fascism and communism, they kind of result in the same thing. There's like a group of oligarchs that are basically running the show. That's what, you know, China is doing. And the name of the game that they're playing is appropriate everyone else's technology and, you know, ignore their patents and just take it in. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, going to China to build my product.
Piracy, internet, intellectual, piracy.
I was told the story that, hey, you really like the trains here, right? They're really great, good. And I was like, yes. Like, well, the story is that Siemens manufactured, the trains here. They got a contract to make all the trains in China. They set up a factory, and the factory had to be staffed by, and run by Chinese nationals. They built one train system, and the story goes is that China then kicked Siemens out, but continued to build the trains.
Oh yeah.
And now there's beautiful Siemens trains all over the country, and they're all counterfeit. And this is the way that China is trying to establish itself as the next world power. Take everyone else's technology, steal it, mm-hmm. And then build it cheaper than everyone else can, and flood the market with counterfeits.
Yeah, we look at the China price, and of course it included slave labor. It included currency manipulation, and President Trump is kind of focused on that. People were aware of the slave labor, but the other part of it is the intellectual piracy that they have conducted against all these companies, making it a precondition to do business there, as you point out, to have Chinese people affiliated with the Communist Party at the highest levels, and then turn over all your plans to us. But, you know, talking to Hugo de Garis, he was in China working on their artificial brain project. And at one point, he was fired because as they were trying to bring in scientists from outside of the country, he said, well, you know, you're going to have to give them a little bit more freedom. If you're going to try to get intellectuals to come in from the West, they're not used to being watched and monitored like you're currently doing. He got called in the next week and fired from that system. And so now, because they don't have to worry about that, they can get Google to essentially, you know, internationalize this and then put that under their control, which is the way that they're doing this now with the brain project. They don't have to develop it internally. They can just steal it via Google.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that they'll get the governments and the taxpayers in the West to fund this research. And mm-hmm. then when it's done and all the kinks have worked out, then they just appropriate it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just take it. And now it's China. And now it's like, okay, well, you know, there you go. We just built up, like, the United States has been building up China for decades.
Yes.
You know, with our free trade agreements that are one-sided mm-hmm. and people don't realize that, you know, China can build a product. They don't, you know, everything's based on sales tax, which they don't pay if they're exporting to the United States. And the thing is that
the same thing with Europe as well. Yeah.
Same thing with Europe. And the thing is that when it lands in the U.S. markets, foreign manufacturers are exempt from local state sales tax. And I found this out when I manufactured my own product and brought it into the United States, is that I had to pay the nearly 10% sales tax in California when I was selling to a California resident. But the Chinese manufacturer didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, wait a minute, this whole game is rigged. If I have to sell to China, I've got to pay the income tax, you know, withholdings of the employees. And then I got to pay a 25% VAT tax on top of that. So not paying tax on tax.
Look at everybody screaming. It's like Trump has started a trade war.
No, they've been at a trade war for decades.
Decades, yeah. They basically bombed out our industry. We'll be right back. One more segment with Zach Voorhees. Stay with us.
InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product, and we got several thousand of these in, and they're going to sell out in a few days at the rate we're selling them. I want to thank the listeners for getting it, but this really is a game-changing toothpaste, and it doesn't compete with Super Blue that's fortified with colloidal silver and iodine and fluoride-free, the adult or the children's. These are both excellent toothpaste, concentrates that don't have fillers. People love it. This is a whitening toothpaste that also has the above sea coral calcium that also cleans but also remineralizes the teeth. Then it has the patented silver sol, silver in it to knock out the bacteria that cause gingivitis. This is all proven. You can make claims with this. But I have to tell you, no one has a toothpaste this good for knocking out the bacteria, the viruses, and cleaning the teeth in a healthy way that doesn't strip away the enamel. So we're really proud of it. It funds the operation, InfoWarsStore.com. And that's why we're still on air, thanks to you. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever.
Who is Alex Jones? Mainstream media calls him a conspiracy theorist, fake news, crazy, and worst of all, a fear monger. But the only thing to truly fear
is missing out on all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday, 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 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points for InfoWarsStore.com Black Friday sale. 50% off your favorites like Survival Shield X2 and X3. 50% off the ultimate bone broth. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Remember when we had llamas? This Black Friday, Friday, Friday. Don't have fear of missing out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 50% off, free shipping, and triple, that's right, triple Patriot points. Only this Black Friday at InfoWarsStore.com.
Fear of missing out is a serious condition and can only be treated by going to InfoWarsStore.com.
A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said, it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is, there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Zach Voorhees, Google whistleblower. He released information to Project Veritas talking about how they were manipulating news and various terms, you know, not just a search engine, but a search engine that hides, a search engine that alters content. And as we said earlier in the interview, you know, this violates the protections that they all had under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. You know, they have the whole idea from the very beginning was that these various organizations, social media, the search engines, would essentially be a public square. And these people would just be administering, keeping the public square open. Now they are manipulating the content And now they're no longer really protected by Section 230. It'd be good to have true public squares. I'd like to see us go back to 230. But if they're not going to do that, if they're going to try to become content changers, content managers, then they don't have that immunity anymore. And so liability
they're now acting as publishers.
That's right. They're acting as publishers. But let's talk a little bit about your personal experiences there. What it was like when you were first hired, and what kind of screening did they do other than just looking to see if you were technically competent? Did they do any kind of screening to find out if you were their political kind of guy?
No, but I worked there, like, I got hired nearly a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did back then was just test you for your technical ability. It was very sort of like dry and detached, and you go up there and you solve a problem that they give you, and then depending on how you performed in that, they hired you. It was very meritocracy. It was very mm-hmm. merit-based, and that was really a great thing.
Does it seem to be that way now?
Or? No. They're now trying to see how the candidates contribute to their multicultural agenda. Like mm-hmm. they want to have a company that has all the employees reflecting the percentages of what race exists in America. So, you know.
So it's really kind of become like an Ivy League school where in the past, yeah. maybe it would be based on your SATs, but now they
like
want
affirmative action.
Yeah. Exactly.
How does this person, you know, count towards our diversity score?
Yeah.
Literally is what they're trying to do. Right.
And then also to make sure your extracurricular activities are kind of going to be aligned with their interests and things that they would like to afford.
Yeah. And so, you know, in the documents that I've disclosed, it's Google, you see Google talking about how they can affect all aspects of the hiring pipeline, and also how they can affect attrition to improve their diversity scores, which means that if you're a person of color and you're thinking about moving or switching jobs, they're going to try to really retain you. And if you're, you know, if you've got white skin, then they don't really care. They're going to just let you go because keeping you and retaining you doesn't improve their diversity metrics.
Hmm. When you became a whistleblower, talk a little bit about the recriminations that you experienced and maybe anything that is currently still going on with them.
I got red flagged and the police came to my house and, I did not answer the door because as an American, I have the right to not talk to the police. And so I didn't talk to the police. I didn't even let them know that I was there. Well, the police used the excuse of something by the gate. It was actually denatured alcohol. My roommate spins fire at these festivals. And so they said, oh, that could be a bomb. So they called in a bomb squad and, they got the SWAT team there. They shut down like two blocks. And this was all because I realized that Google knew that I was the whistleblower. And so I threw up a dead man switch on Twitter saying that if I get killed, the information gets released to the public, right? 4 hours later, the police are knocking on my door, right? This is what a total surveillance system looks like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very frightening. And of course, it's exactly the type of thing that they've been talking about doing once they start managing these cities and this kind of, you know, fascist approach, a merger of corporations and governments. You know, once they have their sidewalk labs, their smart cities in place, they will do exactly that type of thing. People that, you know, are compliant to them, that yield, that allow themselves to be completely surveilled, you know, they get to do, you know, and when they look at your life, if you don't do anything that they object to, you know, everything is fine. But if you don't let them look at your life, or if you let them look at your life and they don't like what you're doing, then there is going to be penalties associated with that. And we've already experienced that.
Like, look at all the fake news that's being generated by Donald Trump. It's like, you think that, like, as an individual, that they're not going to do that to you because of, like, you know, goodness and moral, you know, obligations to mm-hmm. the truth. No, they're going to be like, oh, this person's dangerous. And then if you get shot, then it's, you know, it'll be justified by some sort of fake news that gets mm-hmm. put out there. Oh, they had a gun, or it looked like he was going for a weapon, you know, and then, you know, you see, this is a standard, something that you see in the media all the time is that, you know, someone gets killed and then like, the cameras weren't working that time, yeah. you know. Jeffrey Epstein totally killed himself, you know, yeah. all these.
That's right. There's also the kind of intimidation to get people to self-censor them, you know, their content, which is what we saw done extensively in East Germany, right? You know, you're being watched by everybody. You're being reported on by everybody. And so you're aware of that. So you start to censor yourself. You start to try to be quiet. But there is no limit to that. You know, that can't be satisfied. They're always going to be probing further and further. And it's not just going to be the people who speak out. It's not just going to be President Trump or an outspoken politician that they're going to go for. Because what they are able to do, when I talked to William Binney, he said, we already have in this country something that is far worse than the Stasi's ever could imagine. Because of the reach of technology, they can take this system of tyranny and they can extend it to everybody and every level of your life. That's why we've all got to get together and oppose this, because if we don't, it isn't going to just be, you know, me or you who are speaking that, you know, get some publicity. It's going to be everybody. Everybody, you're not going to be able to avoid coming under the scrutiny of the corporate technocracy.
Right. And the thing is that with the Stasi, you had human operators that were doing the surveillance. And that is kind of inherently unstable because people don't like that sort of system. You have to invest a lot of resources in order to get all those snitches, get that network built out and get all the information going. And then the population's like, oh, I see the snitch and everyone knows who the snitch is. But with surveillance, it's the computers and the AIs that are the snitch, and they're doing it from secret, you know, locations. I mean, they're in the cloud, so they don't have a physical location, but you don't see them. They're like the hidden hand behind the curtain that is always watching over us. And, you know, this, you know, we know that we're starting to be surveilled, but a lot of the people are still asleep to the extent that we're being surveilled. This phone right here is recording your location by the cell towers that it can see. And, you know, what it was disclosed is that, you know, Google was actually collecting all this information. Even if you said don't track the location, they were still tracking people because they can't keep their hand out of the data cookie jar.
And this is one of the reasons why I think we all need to be concerned about 5G. It is the fundamental technology that is going to underlie the smart cities. And we just had last week, it's not just Google, Verizon announced, and I just pointed out their last of three groups of companies allied with them. And what they're doing is they're using artificial intelligence to predict people's movements, geospatial intelligence. They've got companies that specialize on looking through walls. So even if you stay holed up in your little, you know, micro apartment, you're not going to be able to escape their eyes. Even if you don't have, you know, a Google Nest or some kind of a, you know, Google Home device or an Alexa device, they'll still be able to look through the walls to do biometric surveillance on you. They'll be able to identify weapons, you know. So you've got these five different companies as part of this last group with Verizon as part of their 5G partners. This is why they're pushing 5G so much, because it gives them the bandwidth to feed this artificial intelligence, this biometric database that they're building on the world.
Yeah, so, you know, it used to be said that, you know, a man's home was his castle, but to escape the surveillance, you literally need a castle to be your home.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, all these technologies.
Kind of like the man in the castle, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Nazis won or something here.
And then if you have a castle, they're going to be like, why is this guy got a castle? Is he trying to, you know, what's he trying to hide? And then they focus more surveillance on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And all the technologies that, you know, are coming out with the ability to look through walls with the infrared heat signature that they've got is really, you know, they're able to look and see and invade our privacy, you know, and get around the protections laid out in the Constitution about being secure in your home and your paper and your effects.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing like a grab on all of this. And
it's amazing too, for me to think about that. You know, I've been here about 7 years now. And, when they first started talking about using the Internet of Things to spy on people, you know, we had Petraeus talking about that, a CIA director, and it was reported by mainstream media. We reported it, and people were calling us conspiracy theorists, you know, just like Sacha Baron Cohen called Alex Jones a conspiracy theorist. Now everybody knows that. Now we're talking about the fact that they're running press releases saying we've got companies that are going to use 5G to look through your walls and follow you in your home all the time. I mean, this is the level that we've gotten to.
Yeah, and what's really dangerous about 5G is that, like, unlike 4G, which is sort of omnidirectional, like it comes out and then dissipates really fast, 5G is like a beam. It's like a cone of data that goes. And so
all these different antennas can multiplex and focus all on you at the same
time. So you're going to make a call on 5G and you've got the antenna pointed right at your head.
We're out of time. I wish we had more time. So interesting to talk to you, Zach Voorhees. You can find him on Twitter, Perpetual Maniac. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. Appreciate